of the patriarchs and matriarchs, starting with Lech Lecha. And what will be different from this class as opposed to the Parsha class, it will be less of an overview and going right verse by verse into the actual words and see how sayings of our sages and teachings are learnt out from the actual words. As such, we'll be doing a lot of Rashi inside. I tell you this because on your own, if you want to get a Chumash with a Rashi linear translation, they're available in several different formats. And hopefully, God willing, we're doing some Nachmanides, Ramban, and some of the other classic sources like Balaturim, Das Kenim and Bali Taisvis, and Sephorno, and Or Chaim HaKadosh. Basically, what is found in what's called the Mikrois Gedolos, which is an anthology of the major commentators, some of the major commentaries on the Chumash. So with that introduction, we will go right into it. Lech Lecha, chapter 12, verse 1. Keep in mind something that Renee has heard so many times, but she never gets tired of the Chazorah Seder, of the repetition, that when we learn everything about the patriarchs and matriarchs, they're not individual acts. They have repercussions for all time. Their acts, their deeds, what everything they do sets up the DNA of the Jewish people. Okay? And this is called, and God willing, we're not going to get to it this class, but maybe next week, a famous Nachmanides. And we'll try to look at it inside Maase Avos Simon Labonim, that the actions of our forefathers, right, they embed certain spiritual koichos, qualities and strengths in the Jewish people. And therefore, you're going to see over and over again that they do certain things that normally as individuals they may not have done. But for the sake of their descendants, they do these things. Okay? And I'll give you, we'll see examples continuously. Nachmanides, Ramban next week will give a classic example of Avram going to Egypt, right, because of a famine, and how that is an exodus in a microcosm of the actual exodus, right? Okay. Chapter 12, verse 1, Vayom Hashem al Avram. Hashem tells Avram at this point in time, obviously his name has not been changed yet, right? It's just Avram. Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha. Go. Maratzecha. From your land. Umemelaratecha. From your birthplace. Umeveis avicha. From the house of your father. Ela aretz asher eka. Into the land that I will show you. This is considered one of Avram's tests. Are you familiar with Ethics of Our Fathers? It discusses that Avram, our father Avram, had 10 big tests. The truth is, he had a lot more. It's a big debate amongst the commentaries. What are the 10 tests of Avram? Most, I think there's a difference of opinion between Ramban and Ramban, Maimonides and Nachmanides, which whether this is test number one or test number two. Everybody agrees that this is a test. To leave, cut off your past, leave your homeland, leave all his thousands of disciples, right, and followers, and go to a land where, I'm not going to tell you, a land that I'll show you, which made the test harder, not knowing your destination. So everybody agrees, Lech Lecha is definitely a test.
How being the test first?
Right. First test is hinted to in a verse when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a God talks to Avram and he says to him, I'm the Lord your God that took you out of Ur Kasdim. Okay, I can't find the verse at the moment, right? I think this is at Bris Ben Abasarim during the covenant. He made a covenant with Avram. He says, I'm the Lord God that took you out of Ur Kasdim. And what's Ur Kasdim? Where did that come from? Right, we don't have a mention in Lech Lecha of Ur Kasdim. Does anybody know this? Ur Kasdim is the furnace, you know, Ur, like Ur, light. Fire gives off light of Kasdim, of this place called Kasdim. And what happened there was the following. The king, Nimrod, Nimrod who built the Tower of Babel, right? That same Nimrod. So he was like the king there of the civilization, like the first king of the world, if you will. And we're going to see he's involved in the four kings versus the five kings, the first world war. So he had this one rebel on his hand, and his name was Avram. Right? The whole world believed in idols, and Avram, Avram's known as the Ivri, which means on the other side. The whole world's on one side worshiping idols. Avram's on the other side. He's known as Avram HaIvri. And we'll go more into that name when it comes up into the Torah, God willing. So Nimrod got a hold of him and said, listen, you got to worship idols, you know, basically. And Avram refused. And therefore, this is all Rashi, I'm telling you. And he says, if you don't, I'm going to throw you into this furnace. And this is one of the three mitzvahs. You know that? There, we have a pasuk that says, b'chai b'hem, you should live by the mitzvahs, which means any mitzvah in the Torah, when it comes a time of pikuach nefesh, a time of your life being threatened, you violate that mitzvah. Right? The most classic example, a time that a life is considered in danger, at least one life, is when a lady is pregnant, about to give birth. Let's say it's on Shabbos. So you can, you know, go, you can drive a car to the hospital on Shabbos. There's a lot of details on how you should do it, you know, to make it, you violate Shabbos as least as possible. I'm not going to go into that. But if a person's sick, right, and whatever it is, whatever it takes, I'm life-threatening sickness, whatever it takes, you violate any mitzvah in the Torah to save that life, except three. And these are what's called the three cardinal sins, right? Avodah Zarah, idol worshiping, forbidden relationships, and murder. Someone says, you know, you kill him. If you don't kill him, I'm going to kill you. You got to let yourself be killed. So this is one of the three worshiping idols. Avram refused to worship idols. He says, I'm going to throw you in this furnace. He got thrown in, and he survived. A miracle happened. He didn't burn. And this is actually hinted to in the end of last week's Parsha. At the end of last week's Parsha, it mentions that, this is chapter 11, verse 28. It says, Haran, who was Avram's brother, it says he died before his father Terah, because he was also threatened with the same situation. Terah and Avram and Haran, his brother, were threatened. And Haran, Nimrod asks Haran, he says, what's the story with you? Do you believe in God, or are you going to believe in idol worshiping? So he waited to see what was going to happen to Avram. Avram got thrown in the furnace. He got saved. He says, okay, that sounds like a good deal. I'll do the same thing. I believe in the God that Avram believes in. I mean, he just came out of that thing, you know, unharmed. So he expected a miracle, and therefore a miracle did not happen for him. He was thrown, and he was burnt. He died, Haran. So that's what it's hinting to here. It says that Haran died before his father, in Ur Kasdim, the city, or in the fires of Kasdim. Okay, it's all hinted to in the words itself. Okay, so that was test number one. There's three brothers. Nahor, Nashim. That's a very good question. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I really don't know. It's interesting. We don't have much mention of him. And that might have been part of the test of cutting off his past, cutting off his brother. But it's a very good question. We really don't find any reference to him. What happened to him? And okay. So test number one was being saved from the fire, being willing to give up his life for Hashem, basically, rather than worship idols, being thrown in the furnace. Here's test number two, according to most commentaries, and that is Lech Lecha. It's the first test actually mentioned in the Torah. Cut off your entire past. Now, what a lot of commentaries will tell you is that this is a test that everybody goes through in life. And any Baal Tshuva, right? I see Cheryl smiling there at the end of the table. Any Baal Tshuva will tell you that sometime there was a pivotal point in their life, they had to make their own Lech Lecha. They had to cut off their past. They got to some point where they couldn't compromise anymore. They couldn't straddle the fence. And this was it. And they had to leave Dallas, Texas. right, whatever it was. Get time to get out of Dodge, right? That's where the expression came from here, left, I thought, you thought, okay, all right. Right, so, and this, again, and where do the Jewish people, where does the individual get this strength from cutting off his past and blazing a new trail, cut off everything that was common and known to him, right, and start off anew? This potential was inbred in us, Ma'ase Avos Simon Labanim, from Avraham, our father Avraham. Now, Rivka, as far as the ladies go, Rivka is going to do a Lech Lecha. We're not going to get to that, God willing, for a couple months. But Rivka, we're going to see, also goes through her own personal Lech Lecha. She has a very similar experience, okay? But so that also embedded in our genes, this Ma'ase Avos Simon Labanim. Okay. Now, there's a big question asked here. If this is such a test for Avraham, right? And the question is really, how is it a test for Avraham? What do I mean? Well, let's look at the Rashi. Lech lecha, says Rashi. La noischa, for your benefit. I want you to leave. This is going to be for your benefit. La tuvcha, and this is for your good. It will be for your good, for your benefit. Vesham esecha legoi gadol. There, where I'm going to take you, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Here you're not going to have any children. You're not going to merit to have children here in the land that you're living in. But you go, which ends up being Eretz Yisrael, there I'm going to bless you. It's going to be good for you. You're going to have children. I'll make you a great nation. Okay? And as a matter of fact, if we look at the very next verse, right? The second verse, chapter 12, verse 2, Ve'asecha l'goy gadol, there I'll make you a great nation. Vavrechecha, I'll bless you, right? Ve'agadla shemecha, I'll make your name great. Ve'yeh brocha, and you'll be a blessing. Everybody will want to be like you. Tremendous. Do you guys see the question? Do you hear the question? How, right, we're saying this is a tremendous test for Avraham. Lech lecha, go. But, you know, he's told by Hashem, look, if you go, you know what's going to happen? Here you don't have children. There you're going to have children, right? This is going to be for your benefit, for your good. I'll make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. You're going to be a blessing. Now, you know, God appeared to any one of us and told us all these things. You know, like, yeah, God appears to you and tells you this is for your benefit. It's going to be great for you. It's not much of a test. You hear? Why is this a test? I can hear the first test being thrown in the fire. God didn't speak to him and say, look, I'm going to save you. And from this is going to come great things. Didn't say that. Cheryl?
Because it's leaving his father. It's totally against his nature. And he's very caring, giving, nurturing person. Obviously, his family was very, very important to him. We see later with the Akeda, but that the test is more that he's leaving. It's not so much that he finds he's going somewhere great and he's going to get wonderful things when he's there, but nonetheless, he has to cut off from his path.
100%. 100% true. There's a lot of answers. This is one of them. With your permission, I'd like to expand on it a little bit. We know the patriarchs stand for three basic pillars. As a matter of fact, it's paralleled in ethics of our fathers, Pirkei Avos. Al shloisha devorim ha'olam oimed, on three things the world stands, al Torah, v'avoida, v'gemulus chosodim. On Torah, avoida, which is prayer basically, back then it was sacrifices, right? And on acts of chesed. You know who stands for Torah? Who's described in the Torah as a man that dwelled in the tents? Yaakov, right? And who is prayer, avoida? Remember, avoida was sacrifices originally. Who is the original sacrifice? Yitzchak, right? He's actually, you know, he's mamish. We learn everything out, sacrifices from him. As a matter of fact, the phrase is, let this ram be instead of my son. That's what it ends up being. Sacrifices are really, we're supposed to imagine everything's happening to that animal should happen to us. That's what Rambam learns. Okay? And the pillar of chesed, right? It's Avraham. by its nature, a test is only a test if it's against your nature. And that's what Cheryl's saying, right? For anybody else, for a man like Yitzchak, who is strictness, judgment, right? Right? That's his attribute. Gevura, din, right? Or Yaakov is truth, emes. So that's the emes. That's what you got to do. No problem. Avram, the Ish HaChesed, the man of Chesed, to ask him, you know, this is the man that brought in Arabs into his tent and fed him, right, and took care of him. Any stranger was welcome in his house. Remember all the Midrashim? Avram's tent had four doors on either side, right? Anybody's welcome. For him, the man of Chesed, to cut off his past, cut off his old father, his aged father. In fact, he was worried that would be a Chilul Hashem. That would be a desecration of God's name. What are people going to say? I left my aged father, right? To cut off his and to cut off his disciples and everything, tremendous test. That's for sure true. Let me give you another interpretation. Hafla Kodesh says this. Many commentaries say this. If you notice, we have, again, we're going to see this many times, the words that are chosen in the verses of the Torah are very specific. There's no such thing as a synonym in Hebrew. Right? Even if I could pronounce the word correctly, there's still no such thing. Are you smiling? Yes, I thought so. You have something to make fun of. Okay, anyways, you know the word Vayomer and Vayedaber, we always translate as being the same. Right? But the truth is, they're not the same. Same thing we know, Hashem Elohim. In fact, these are parallel. Vayomer and Vayedaber, which both mean to say, are parallel to Hashem and Elohim. What I mean, Vayomer is always used. Does anybody know? Anyone knows? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Vayomer is always used with Hashem, and Vayedaber is always used with Elohim.
Right, exactly. So what does that mean? Hashem, that name that we pronounce as Ado, yeah? Nai? Right. That's the God's name, the attribute of mercy. Rachamim. And Elohim, judgment. And like Renee said, Vayomer is a more merciful language. It's an easy language. Like, you know, Vayomer, please do this type of thing, right? Vayedaber, that's more of a command. It's more strict. It's more harsh, right? Right? And that's a whole thing about the world's created by Aseres Amaros. It's 10 sayings, and then we're given Aseres Hadibros. The Aseres Hadibros, the 10 commandments. Dibor is more of a command. You hear? Okay, no synonyms in Hebrew. Every word has its own connotation and its own meaning. Chapter 12, verse 1. Vayomer Hashem. Hashem, the attribute of mercy. Vayomer. He tells Avram, this is a good thing. This is a merciful thing. Lech lecha, go. And I'm going to promise you all these blessings. Verse 4, Vayelech Avram went, Ka'asher Diber Alav, like Hashem commanded. This made the test harder. Oh no, you promised me all these blessings, and you're asking me like it's my choice, right? Vayomer, do this, you know, it'll be good for you. Name of mercy, right? And all these blessings. That's not why I want to do this. I want to do this because you commanded me to do it, not because of the blessings. The whole purpose of the blessings, says the Flaw Kodesh, is to make the test harder. I'm going to give you these blessings, and Avram says, I have to ignore these blessings, and I'm not doing it because of the blessings, I'm doing it because Dibar Allah of Hashem, because you commanded me to do it. So that was gufa part of the test. Number one. Number two, what's going to happen here is when he does obey Hashem and he goes and he comes to Israel, there's a famine in the land, right? Which becomes test number three. There's a famine and he has to leave and he has to go to Mitzrayim. You just promised me you'll make my name great. I'll be a blessing. Everything will be hunky-dory. I don't think he said those words, right? And now there's a famine. I have to go down to Egypt. Okay, so that becomes part of the test. That was promised all these good things. And here, remember, Very important. Every one of Avram's tests goes against chesed, which is what Cheryl was saying. Everyone goes against his intrinsic nature. That's what makes it a test. Number two, every test contradicts a direct prophecy to Avram. Did you know that? Everyone contradicts a direct, I think that's a Ramban, a direct prophecy to him. Right here, and going down, there's a famine. It's a complete contradiction to your prophecy that you're going to make me great. I'm going to be a blessing. Because what happened was, everybody made fun of Avram. Avram came to Israel, he said, hey, you Canaanites, you know, this is wrong, you know, this idol worshiping business, get rid of them, right? Everything will be great for you. So they did. And what happened? The first famine ever to hit the earth. Did you know that? This is the first famine ever. So they came back to Avram and said, you know, our gods are mad at us. Everything was fine until you came here and started preaching, getting rid of our little getchkas. You know, we were doing great. You come here, tell us, get rid of this. Now look what happens. There's a famine. And Avram had to go down to Egypt very embarrassed. So it was a tremendous test. So all these are connected to each other. They come, yeah. Go ahead, yes.
Right. If that we might have, that my Lord may have to do something.
I got you. So you're saying, I don't know if anybody, right, so you're saying if anybody heard these brachas and then saw what happened, that would also be, I just don't know if the prophecy was, it's,
well, I don't know, yeah, if anybody else would hear it, but if, right, it's just intrinsically.
Oh, yes. Now I hear what you're saying. Gotcha. So he would doubt, you know, it was a test of his own faith in the Kodesh Baruch Hu.
He had this focus.
Right. Gotcha. Very good. Okay.
But would you say even these things are reflected in the Jewish nature?
Okay, so that's our next...
details?
Right, very good. So that's our next point. Again, each one of these tests, every action they do, is going to embed certain spiritual qualities. Now, Rav Chaim Volozhin says on this, Rav Chaim Volozhin was the main disciple of the Vilna Gaon, right? And he says on this, well, go ahead, Rick, you tell. You want me to do this? Or you? Okay, I'll do it. Okay, never mind.
I will show you.
Okay, thanks. So, Rick was telling me the other day about this book, Nefesh HaChaim. In the back of it, there's a book in itself called Ruach HaChaim, and he talks about... it's a commentary on Pirkei Avos, on the ethics of our fathers. So he talks about how every one of these tests embed certain spiritual qualities. He says, where is it that you get Jews, right, who have no connection to Torah and mitzvahs, but feel an intrinsic connection to the land of Israel? Caught you. It's all right, I do it all the time also. Even sometimes when I'm talking, I fall asleep. Where do you find Jews? I understand. Don't worry about it. 4 hours of 4 hours of sleep. Where am I? Not enough coffee. Where do you find Jews that have no connection to Torah and mitzvah? They have an intrinsic love for the land of Israel. You know, they go on vacations and they could go to places that, you know, geographically look a lot nicer. They go to Switzerland, to the Alps, you know, New England, whatever, right? And they go dafka to the land of Israel. Where do they get this intrinsic love for Israel? So Rav Chaim Volozhin says it's from here. Avram cuts off his past, blazes a new trail, besides what we said that gave us a quality for to be a Baal Tshuva, to cut off our past and start a new trail, also gives an intrinsic love for the land of Israel. People feel, they sense, that's home. That's where the Jewish neshama feels at home. As a matter of fact, it says here, Lukuti Basi Lukuti, he says, where is it? Okay. He says that anybody who goes, when Rashi makes that comment, that you're going for your own benefit, for your own goodness, that anybody who goes to the land of Israel is really going to themselves. That's, so he says that's hinted to lech lecha, go to yourself. Go to yourself. So he says, go to the land of Israel, you're coming back to your root source. Okay? The other part, that you're saying on this, that this gives a certain quality, and that is, this instilled a certain bitachon, a certain trust and faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, Avraham Avinu did not know where he was going, right? And at the end, it says, Asher Eka, go to the land, then I'll show you. And at the end, he saw, obviously, what the land was. So in general, a person has to understand, he says, Kodem Kol, first of all, a person has to do, he has to do what Hashem commands him, right? He has to trust in Hashem. And then after he does it, he'll understand and he'll see that in fact it was for his benefit. And that's, he said, hinted here in the Pasuk, first it says, Lech Lecha, go. Don't, first you have to go. First you have to do. You have to listen to Hashem. And afterwards, our Echa, then you'll see, you'll understand. And that's the biggest problem we have. Right? We don't understand why the Torah commands this, commands that, why we have to go through this test, that test, why certain things happen, why things happen to the nation of Israel. Right? So, we just have to do. Lech Lecha, do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end, we'll see. Well, everything makes sense. Okay, now, that is, this Yeshua's Yaakov goes into a whole explanation here. If you notice, only this first test, if you hold this is the first test of Avraham, starts with the word Lech Lecha. Most people, most commentaries, hold the last test is what? Akedas Yitzchak. So if we go to Akedas Yitzchak at the very end of Vayera, what, Cheryl? Right, very good. Right, very good. It also says that. Let's find it. Chapter 22. Verse 1, I believe. Right. Right, it's actually verse 2. It says, take now your son, your only son, the one that you love, et Yitzchak, v'lech lecha, and go. So, I'll tell you, commentaries say, again, no coincidence, that the Torah uses the same language with the first test, Lech Lecha, and this test. What does it tell us? Huh?
There's a connection?
Yeah. What's the connection? The first...
It's the same thing I was saying before, that the first time he's leaving his father behind, and this time he's, you know, about to sacrifice what's essentially his only son, even though really it wasn't. That's from this we can learn that Lech Lecha, like, not just go for your benefit, but sometimes the hardest things we do and things that may feel less right than anything else we've done, it's what's ultimately for our own good.
That's true. That's very, I thought you were going to say something else. That's also true. I thought you were saying one is cutting off his past, his father, and here's cutting off his future, Yitzchak. By the way, it is his only son. Yechidcha tells us, and we're going to see this several times, that Yishmael, very interesting, Avram had Yishmael. When his name is changed to Avraham, right? And that's why it says in the Gemara, anybody who calls Avraham, Avram, it's like very bad news. You're not allowed to do that. Why? Because then you're saying that Yishmael is also part of Israel. You see?
So when you're referring to Avraham before,
yeah, that's a good question. When we're learning here in the Torah that his name is called Avram, and I'm reading the Psukim, so I don't know if that would be, you know, inclusive in that, right? But certainly when we speak generically, if there's such a thing as speaking generically about Avram Avinu, you know, we say Avram Avinu, you know, our father Avram, right? So you refer to him, you know, it's from Avram, because then you're giving credence to the false notion that Yishmael is part of him. Well, that's the interest, generic, genetic. But the truth is, they say, you know, no one, like Avram was exempt from the mitzvah of honoring his father, his old father, and it says, Avram was worried about this. I think it's a Rashi at the end of next week, at the end of last week's Torah portion. It says, what are people going to say? Well, first of all, they ask the question, chapter 11, verse 32, that Terach dies. Terach didn't die. I don't think he died for like another 60 years. Why does it say he died here? Because in a generic sense, what did you say? Genetic sense, Avram becomes a different person. He gets a new name, and we discussed a name in Hebrew describes the essence of, he gets a different essence, a different mission. Sarai becomes Sarah also. She gets a different mission, and they're no longer related to their past. Sound familiar, guys? They're not related to their past. They're the first converts. A convert's not related to their past. I don't think we allow it for different reasons, but I think technically a convert could like marry his sister. You know, I don't think we allow it because it doesn't look good, whatever it is, it gets technical halachas. But technically they're not related anymore to those past. They get a new neshama. Avram and Sarah are the first converts. They're no longer related to past. Avram, your father's dead as far as you're concerned. That's it. You are a new entity, right?
Convert is called Ben Avraham.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. He's called a Ben Avram. And so therefore, you see, Avram does have a complete tear away from his past with the first Lech Lecha, right? Don't worry about Terach. He's no longer related to you. And at the end, Vayera, Kedus Yitzchak, he's willing to give up the entire future because he's already been promised. Again, a direct contradiction to a prophecy, from Yitzchak will come the Jewish people. Okay, so that's some of the connections. Now, Yeshua's Yaakov, I'm not going to go into all, but he goes into the whole explanation, which test is harder? If they're being compared, right, it must mean, you hear this? We always think of the ultimate test as being the Akedah. But if there's Lech Lecha here, Lech Lecha there, it must be being compared. Which is more harsh test? And evidently, they say, just like that was a Lech Lecha, very tough, so is this equally as tough to cut off his past. Again, from what was already said here, because Avram was the Ish Chesed, for a man of Chesed, to cut off his past, his family, is very difficult. And he goes on to explain, just like it's easier, he says, to fast for the sake of heaven than to eat, right? It's much easier to observe Yom Kippur, right? Because you're doing it strictly to serve Hashem. No one fasts because they like to. Then, yeah, Yom Kippurim, then a day of Purim to eat, but to eat for the right reasons, for the sake of heaven, that's much tougher, right? Because you may be eating really for your personal taste buds. He says the same thing here. This test is promised all these great things. Lech Lecha, this first test over here, right? That's much tougher than the last test to offer up Yitzchak. Because of course he's offering up Yitzchak to do the will of Hashem. No one slaughters their son because they enjoy doing it, right? So he says in that sense, this test is a lot tougher to do it L'Shem Shemayim, to do it for sincere motivations, you hear? But then he says, no, that's not true. Because then he comes out, the maskana, the whole final thing of this whole thing, he says, you see that Akedah also was like this because that the Akedah had two parts to the test. First, he was to bring him up as an offering, right? And then when he was told, Al tishlach yadcha, don't stretch out your hand to slaughter the boy, right? He was a 37-year-old man, actually. Don't stretch out your hand to slaughter him, right? Then, already, that was a personal... you know, personal motivation for Avram not to slaughter him because he was his son. And he had to do it, not because he was his son, but Hashem said, don't do it. That's the only reason I'm not slaughtering him. So he goes back and forth with this. So he said, no, the second Lech Lecha was like the first one. Okay. Yeah, okay, let's go to another verse. Any questions on that? We just did one verse. Rick, are you here?
I'm here.
You look like you're doing a fair catch, yes.
The first thing of anything is always the hardest, you know. By the time the 10th test comes around, he's had experience having tests and passing tests and seeing his faith validated 9 times. You know, it's that first one, like, you know, believe everything you know and...
Very interesting.
That takes a tremendous amount of time.
That's very, I never thought of this. That's very good. So you're saying the first is really the toughest because, right, so he got used to it being, every time he was tested, God, you know, everything worked out fine. Very interesting. Very interesting. Very good. I like that.
But
very nice.
Like you were saying, the first one is to cut off his past. That's not nearly as difficult as cutting off your future. So while they may have gotten easier, it might have gotten easier for Abraham do it, it seems like the tests themselves got harder and harder.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. That's also very nice.
The play off of that.
Okay.
As a person grows spiritually, the Yetzirah grows with it, and the tests have to become a little harder.
To be a test, it would have to be harder to be, because he's getting greater and greater, especially when he moves to Israel. It says when you move to Israel, you get, you know, hold it. Very nice. This is great. You guys chocolate tie here back and forth. Very nice. Very good. That's exactly what this class is supposed to be about. You get involved. Get your ideas here. You have something to say.
Yeah, I don't know. We might have to wait till next
time. Okay.
The Rashi in the second Lefakha.
Yeah.
The Rashi.
It's going to be more than next week before we get to that one.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
The whole conversation, because it says the Rashi is this conversation between Abraham and Hashem.
Right.
That Hashem says, take your son, your only son, the one that you love, and Abraham says, I have two sons.
Right.
And Hashem says, each son is the only son to that mother, like all that. So if you're saying that, I forgot where you said it came from, but that Yitzchak was the only son to Abraham,
right.
Then why did this whole conversation take place?
Right. I'll tell you an amazing, the Vilna Gaon says because he wanted to offer up both of them. Not the way we're thinking that he's not. He says, you said only son, I want to serve you so much. He's also an only son. He has to Hagar, right? And this is the only son to me and Sarah, right? So I want to offer, Vilna Gaon says he was stopped from, no, he's not in that category. It's just Yitzhak I want you to offer. So it's not like we think, we always think like, which one do you, they're both the single sons, like he's trying to get out of it. Punctual care, the way we think. No, he wanted to offer both of them. He wanted to do the will of God. It says it was harder, listen to this, unbelievable. It was harder for Avram to take Yitzchak down from the Akedah than it was to put him up.
Mm-hmm.
He had the Nevuah that... That's called, if you look at Rashi, Nava Velo Yadosh Nava. He prophesied, didn't know he prophesied. That's what it's called. A brief crucialis fasayim, that sometimes a covenant is made by the lips, that you say things, you know, and you don't realize, they ask on that. What does it mean, Yeshua? He didn't know he prophesied. Right. No, it wouldn't be a test. The son, they say the son did play games with them, tell him it's really going to be a test, he's not going to really have you do it. But the Kennedys also, Rick, it contradicted everything that he taught in life. Child sacrifice, everything else. I'll discuss it more at the time.
But
because he wanted so much to serve Hashem. He thought there was a... It's hard to get into it right now, but I'll tell you just briefly. He thought he was stopped from doing the sacrifice because it was his fault that he didn't marry. There was a prophecy. Me Yitzchak will come the Jewish nation. Yitzchak is 37 years old. Avram did not get him married. If Avram got him married and he had children, he could do the will of God, which he thought was to sacrifice Yitzchak, and still the nation of Israel can come from Yitzchak, from his children. It's my fault. I didn't get him married all this time. Therefore, Hashem has to stop me from doing the sacrifice, or else his first prophecy would be Alayi Chalila, right? So that's what upset him. That's why, if you look in the Torah, the very next parsha, what does it say? It gives the birth of Rivka. Right afterwards, Vayehi Achar Advari Ma'ela, after these things, what things? Doesn't say what thing. The conversation to Avraham and Hashem. It's my fault. If I would have gotten married, I could have done your real will. Your real will is for me to offer Yitzchak. But you stopped me because you have a previous prophecy to me from Yitzchak. Come, the Jewish nation, I didn't get him married. He says, no, after these words, what does it say? It starts giving the whole genealogy, and the whole genealogy is only for one purpose, says Rashi, Rivka the Tzedekis, our mother Rivka, right? It says, no, only now his Besheret has been born. It's all right. So that's why it was so hard. Well, we'll go into that more at the time. Okay, let's move on. Yes, yes. Well, yeah, we see it says the Yitzchak after the fact, but if you notice the way it's worded, it doesn't say Hashem says to Avram, take Yitzchak. What does it say? Take Bincha, take your son. At that point, we don't see all the conversation went to and fro. Oh, after Hashem said, take your son, Avram said to Hashem, I have two sons. He says, no, Yechidcha, your only son. He says, well, really, each one's an only son to its mother. Right? So that, and then he says, no, Yitzchak. And that's when Avram stopped. The one that you love. He says, I love both of them. Okay. And then he says, and Yitzchak. Then it was specific. So what? So now you can ask, why did Hashem didn't say just to Yitzchak? And of course, Rick will tell you, he said it the way he did because... you got to read the script before you get here. Because he wanted him, says Rashi, to give him more reward for each word. It's like four separate commandments. Instead of getting reward just for one, take Yitzchak. No. Take the one you love, your only one, right? Your son. Made it a harder test. The same thing, I'm going to connect it back here, I better. Okay? The same thing here. Why didn't it just say, go to Israel? It says, Rashi says, to give him reward for every step he took to an unknown destination. And the same way, instead of just saying, just leave your land, it says again, leave your land, Artzacha, leave the place of your birth, leave the house of your father. So again, he's getting more reward, and the test is harder. Each one of these is a different degree of hardness. Right? To leave your land is one thing. To leave your birthplace, which is intrinsically connected, is even harder. To leave your family is even a more severe test.
And also, when Hashem said, you know, I'm going to take you to Israel, then Abraham knows automatically that Hashem is going to whatever happens to him along the way, he's going to get to Israel safely because that's where Hashem wants him to be. If Hashem just says, go to the place where I'm taking you, then any negative influences on Abraham while he's on his journey, well, this could be the place that Hashem was taking me, and this could be the end of me. So it really is more starring that...
Very good. Okay, very good. That's good. Baal Turim has a couple things on the word Lech Lecha. A lot of hints. You're going to see a lot of this. It's absolutely amazing. Lech Lecha. You know what Lech Lecha is in numerical value? You know how old Avram is at this point? Does anybody know? It says it specifically in the verse.
100.
Right. Lech Lecha is 100. You know how old Avram is here? Right. It's right. Verse 4 will tell you he's 75 years old. Okay. How old was Avram when he passed away? 175. He's going to pass away in another 100 years. Lech Lecha. That's a hint that he's going to live to 175. Also, Lech Lecha. What is Avram's primary concern all this time? What's his main concern? This whole a servant of Hashem, spreading the word of Hashem. That's also true, but obviously...
Having
Yitzchak. That's the main thing here. We see over and over again, what all the brachos Hashem if I'm gone barren, you know, all these things. So, at what age will he be able to, at 100, Lech Lecha, at Lech Lecha, right, that's when you'll become a great name, says Baal Turim. Okay? The Az, and that's, he said, oh, it's beautiful, it says, that's how it follows up, at Lech Lecha, at 100, I said, I'll make you into a great nation, Shenola lo Yitzchak, there Yitzchak was born to him at that time. And also that after he leaves his land, he'll live another 100 years, we said that already, okay. Very interesting. Baal Turim says something else. Beautiful. How many temples have we had? Two temples. We went in exile twice as far as the Churban, the destruction of the temples. The third temple, our tradition tells us, will be built and will never be destroyed. So Lech Lecha, these two words, Lech Lecha, double language, two going outs, that twice Israel will go into Golis without their base of Migdash. And that's why it says, where did they go out from? What's the last word in last week's Torah portion?
Haran.
Does anybody know what that word means? It's used in the Torah. It says a Haran af. What? Haran af. It says by Hashem. that he got angry, charana, right? Angry. So that was, you know, okay. This was lechem samach b'charam. Lech lecha charam was put together with lech lecha. Last week's Torah portion, last word, and then the first words of this portion. Because with like the anger of God, we were put into exile because of our sins twice. The destruction of the temple.
Interesting. Later, Harsha Shalach Lecha,
right,
who was sitting in the spies,
right,
also coming into the land, and the outcome is that Hashem gets angry, and in the sense is sustains, you know, the exile. It didn't have to say Shalach Lecha, it just couldn't just say Shalach.
Very good. It's a nice observation, especially you know what day that was. Tisha B'Av. What days were the temples destroyed? And that's the root source. That was the root source from there. Right. Very good. Very interesting. Lecha. Lech Lecha. Again, Shalach Lecha.
What's the difference?
Different
spelling?
No, same spelling.
Why does this go...
Can you remember, the Torah can be... What are you asking?
What does it mean? Lecha.
Go... Lecha. That's what we... Darshan, one thing. Go to yourself. Go for your own benefit. That's what Rashi says. For your lehanascha, letevascha, for your benefit, go to yourself.
Go to your true essence.
That's going to Israel. A person's true essence only can be found in Israel, for your benefit. All these things, but in poshtus, in simple meaning, lech lecha is like a double line. Yes. Yeah, no, but you can see people saying in secular, you know, lech lecha, get out of here, you know. Okay, obviously it doesn't mean that here, but okay. When it says vaya bracha, I think we're in the second verse now. Ve'asadachal goy gadol, I'll make you a great nation. Va'avrechecha, I'll bless you. Ve'agad la'shemecha, and I'll make your name great. Vaya bracha, you will be a blessing. Vaya bracha is learned out. The Das Akeni, Mabali Tosfos, learns out that this is a command. That this is a command, Shetzivah, Shekom Makom, Shielach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Abraham, every place you go, teach people about the Creator of the world. Yeah, bracha. What's the connection to be a blessing? Do you know the famous Medrash, how Abraham did his... outreach, the original Kolel. You know how Avram did it? Does anybody know some of the famous Midrashim? Yes?
Well, he would give people food and then he would ask them to say their cut on his own. They'd want to thank him for the meal and he'd say, oh no, you're not thanking the right person. But let's talk about who you need to thank.
Exactly. So, brachas. By saying brachas, he taught people about the Creator of the world. That's what it means. Vaye bracha. Be a blessing. Teach people. Das Kain Baal Tosefs learns out. That's a commandment. Go from place to place and teach them about the Creator of the world. How? By saying brachas. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's something that we say about 100 brachas each day and we take it for granted. But this is the source where Avram did his outreach. Teaching people to say brachas. We don't have a role in such a capacity.
Well, it's a historical role.
Isn't
that an appreciation of the Creator and also to bring...
Could be.
Appreciation of the Creator?
Let me put it this way. It's not our role, but it could be used as such. I mean, not to... In other words, if you use it...
It doesn't say in the Chumash every Jewish boy should be a doctor. No, but right. I mean...
And it does say in the Chumash every Jewish boy should be a God-fearing Jew.
Yes.
Right,
right.
Exactly.
Also bring
to where did now? See, that's it. Says no. It's a good thing because Avram teaches us. You're hitting something that I don't know if you realize it. It's very important. Avram is the man of Chesed, does outreach, and yet he's called Ivri. Everybody's on one side; he's on the other side. He's the man, right? Where his beloved son Yishmael, one of his tests, Sarah tells him, "Kick him out." Hashem says, "Yes, she's right." no problem. The man of chesed, when it's a contradiction to moral upbringing of the children, kicks Yishmael out. Right? He's the man that takes his own nephew, Lot, who sees, you know, it's starting to influence people, kicks him out. Right? So what does it mean when it says in Isaiah, we're to be the light to the nations, we're to teach people? It's by example. Right? Being honest in business, being a good doctor, that can do it. You can do it that way. But what I, the only thing I'm like want to make sure that we stem on is our role, you say, as being scientists and everything, we don't have a role as such. However, that can... Good. Very nice. Beautiful. You can be a doctor or a scientist or these things, not an exclusion to being a Shomer Shabbos Jew. You're a Shomer Shabbos Jew first, and then your way of serving God, or seeing, or for yourself for that matter, and seeing that, you know, a doctor can be a most God-fearing person in the world. He sees the intricacies of the human body, the miracles of the human body, right? Or a scientist for that matter. He sees the universe, right? 100% he can use that in the service of God. Except by and large, scientists are atheists. Yeah, they use it punk for carrot. It doesn't have to be that way, and as a matter of fact, you're 100% right. It can be used to really show the greatness of a Kodesh Baruch in the world. And that's the way it's supposed to be, by the way. It's really the way it's supposed to be. And the more I think about it, in this day and age, it could be a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, a tremendous sanctification of God's name, if we had, an Orthodox Jewish scientist to show how everything does stem and really proves. There is a few books out. There is a few books out on this. Huh? Discovery is one of these. But there's a few books out showing this by... there's a Harold Gans, who's a famous, I think, a mathematician for NASA. Huh?
He teaches Discovery.
Yeah, he teaches Discovery, and he shows these things. 100%. But just... Okay, but just don't mistake when, you know, our role is not per se scientists. That can be a means to an end. Like anything, right? Okay, so 100%, everything in the world is kosher and holy if you use it as such, or, you know, you can use it not as such, yeah. Oh, that's great.
The big thing, like, makes sense according to the Torah, and the question you have to ask yourself if you're a strict believer in the big thing is what started it.
Right, the origin, right. Then they always get stuck on that.
The book takes straight to Rav Reishi and the big thing, and like parallels the evolution of creation, which is that one doesn't go against the other.
I try to remember. I remember in one of the tapes that I was listening to, Rabbi Tatz suggests two books in these areas that are written by, I think, Jewish scientists that shows how, I think one's called The Age of the Earth or something like that. If you remind me, if anybody wants to call me to give them that information, I'll be glad to. The Shemona Esrei, you know, our first bracha, the first blessing of the Shemona Esrei, the standing prayer, the prayer. By the way, in Gemara, whenever it talks about tefillah, prayer, that's it. Everything else is just the build-up to it. Are you having a good time, Rick?
I'm fine.
Okay. He looks very serious. He has that the same look that your son Akiva does when he's about to bite my ankle. So it says, well, let's just look at the Rashi here. It talks about basically how this pasuk is related to the Shemona Esrei. Someplace it does do that. Okay. V'aserecha goy gadol, I'll make you a great nation. That's a Gemara. He's not going to bring it down here. That's where we say Elokei Avram, the God of Avram in the Shemona Esrei. V'avrachecha, right? And I'll bless you. Elokei Yitzchak. You know what I'm talking about. Baruch Hashem, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak. The Agad LaShemecha, I'll make your name great, Elokei Yaakov, the God of Jacob. V'yeh Bracha, verse ends, you'll be the blessing. You might think, says the Gemara, I think it's in Brachas, that therefore the Bracha should end, right? Brachot HaShem, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Yaakov, that's how it should end, right? No, you will be the Bracha. And it ends, right? Brachot HaShem, Magen Avraham. That's how the bracha ends. You will be the seal. So, There's a lot of commentaries to this. But one of them, that you'll be the chasima, the seal of the bracha, via bracha, going back to what we said, that the patriarchs represent these three pillars, Torah, Tefillah, and Chesed, you will be the seal. At the end of days, it will be you, your attribute, your mystical sphera, that will cause the redemption. We will not have Torah like the previous generations, and we will not know how to daven like the previous generations. But it will be acts of chesed. Vaya brocha. It will be you. That will be your mita, what it stands for. That will bring the geula. Is that a question? No. Okay. Another thing it says here, on that brocha, Magin Avraham, right? If you notice, no place else does it mention with the patriarchs a magen, a shield. Why is it only Avraham that gets this bracha that I'll be your shield? A person, Yitzchak, who stands for strictness and judgment, usually can take care of himself, but whatever it is, he doesn't need as much of a shield, either as Yaakov, as a person of chesed. A person of chesed is liable to be taken advantage of. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll be, you know, the chasim of the bracha, magen Avraham, a shield to you. The deeper pshat is this, that it says, vayah bracha, you will be a blessing, is a guarantee that no Jew will ever be totally lost. This is from the Chiddushi Arim. Chiddushi Arim says, you know that famous thing that we always talk about in Yiddish, the pintel yid? You know, that little pintel yid. And where do you find a person comes back from such a pass, right? You know, a guy could be a poker dealer in Vegas, and the next thing you know, he's off in Yeshiv in Eretz Yisrael. Whatever. I'm not talking about anybody in particular, I hope. At any rate, where does that come from? Because that pintel yid, it's that spark, it still hasn't gone out. There's still a little flame there. So he says, that is the Magen Avraham. Hashem says, I'm going to protect that little bit of Avraham in everyone, in every Jew. There's a little bit of Avraham. I'll protect it. It won't completely go out and vanquish. You'll be in Golas after Golas, and there'll be persecutions. We should know from it. And there'll be assimilation, right? And there'll be all sorts of propaganda and brainwashing out there. And you'll go from sea to sea and everything, and you'll get lost. And there'll be intermarriage, all these things. But there'll be this little pintel of yid, this Magen Avraham, I'll keep a shmir over. I'll watch over it, and no Jew will be totally lost. He'll have the capacity to fan that spark into a flame and come back to Yiddishkeit. And that's how you explain the Baal Tshuva movement today. Okay. Okay, we're going to end with one more note, unless there's any questions at the moment. We're open for a lot of questions in this class. No questions? Okay. Yes. Right.
What's your kind of shame blessing the divine name?
Excuse me?
What's your kind of shame blessing the divine name? Well, that's
the name. Oh. That is a euphemism for not cursing Hashem. We don't even like to say that. Birchas Hashem. Okay, last thing we'll just... is verse 3. Vavarecha, mevarechecha, those that bless you will be blessed. Umekalelcha, or those that will curse you will be cursed. V'nivruchu b'cha komish b'chois ha'adoma. And all the nations of the world, all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. I want you guys to tell me the commentaries on this. Think of those words. Whoever curses you will be cursed. Whoever blesses you will be blessed. And the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. What's your insight on that? Come on, guys. New? No one can think of anything on this? Very good. That's for sure true. Right? What about Sukkos? Anybody know about Sukkos? When we used to offer 70 sacrifices for the nations of the world, they were all... They said if the Goyim knew that they lost more from destroying the temple than we did, they would have put two guards on every Jew to make sure that we always did our mitzvahs. Right. But even just more in a practical sense, every nation that took the Jews in prospered economically. Mm-hmm. You think about the golden age of Spain.
That's what I was saying to the doctor and the scientist, that Jews were always the craftspeople. Jews brought languages and trade and science and philosophy to every country they lived in. Spain went right down the tubes as soon as they kicked this out.
You're right. But
they're not into crafts. They're not into doing things. They're right. into making war. Right. And they just went right down the tubes.
You're right, 100%. And we could go right through history. The Greeks during the time of Comica, the Persians' empire fell, the Roman Empire fell, Germany fell, right? Those that cursed the Jews, they themselves cursed themselves. They did the worst thing. And America took in the Jews by and large. They could have done a little better, but whatever. Basically, America, you know, is a nation that's blessed economically. It should continue so, right? So they read out their own fate by how they served the Jews. Those that bless will be blessed, those that curse will be cursed. However, what you're saying, you have to understand that's a byproduct, right? The main thing, right, they prospered economically from being kind to Jews. Now, you're saying that we ourselves were, like they say, I think the treasurer, the original setup of the economic system of America was a Jewish guy. And in fact, I think they say on the back of a bill,
star is arranged like a Jewish star.
Yeah, it's a Jewish star. He did as like a karsatev. That's very interesting. But at any rate, it's like the second paragraph of the Shema. If you keep the mitzvahs, then the rain will fall in its time and the prosperity and materialism will come. So we built up the economy not per se because Abarbanel was the treasurer. You know, sometimes that happened. But because they were kind to us and let us learn the Torah and do our mitzvahs. That's the source power of everything. And then, like the second paragraph of Shema, the materialistic world comes and we're blessed through it. Okay? So that is how all the nations of the earth are blessed through us. It's very, you know, it's a very simple formula. And that's how they've written out their own clause. You just look through history. It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Every empire, the Golden Age of Spain, what they went to after that, like you were saying, Germany, Rome, all these things. Moms, they wrote out their own death certificate. Yes.
I'm just looking at that carries through to the future also, because when the French going go to the place and go over.
What? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, these people, like, you know, in the Holocaust, we hear stories of righteous Gentiles that saved, you know, the Jewish people. You know, they got their own Lamhamba, no doubt about it. Anybody now, during the time of darkness, when it's not clear that the Jewish people are what we are, and, you know, and help the Jewish people. And matter of fact, the Gemara says at the end of days, Kodesh Baruch Hu say, who has a share in this Torah? Let him come and get the reward. And the Romans will say, hey, we built bathhouses, we built marketplaces and streets to make it easier for the Jews to learn Torah. Right? We get a share in Torah. So Kodesh Baruch Hu will shlug him up, you know, saying, Shaitim Shabbailam, fools, you know, it's not true, you did it for your own pleasure. But the Havamina there, right, the aforementioned thought was, had they really done it to benefit the Jews, they would have gotten a share in Torah. And that's the Tachlis of a Goy. He is given the mission to make this world a more civilized and culture. That's what it is. You know what? Yitzchak, what's the word? He loved Esav, and Rivka loved Yaakov. Yitzchak didn't know what Esav was about. He didn't know that Yaakov was a tzaddik and Esav was a rasha. No, but he missed it by one generation. He saw that Esav was a man of the world, like you, like you were saying, like you were saying, right? And Yaakov was a man that learned Torah. The perfect team. Missed it by one generation. Next generation, we have what's called a Zevulun Yisachar. You remember? Zevulun goes out as a merchant, is in business, supports Yisachar, sits and learns Torah. They get an equal share. By the way, this is a husband and wife. This is a husband and wife, Zevulun Yisachar. Right? And so, that's what he wanted. Esav, Edom, that's our exile. You know our exile is called Edom. Right? The Goyim. Take care of the world. You be the Zevulun to Yisrael. Let them learn Torah. We had it several times. Times of Solomon, right? Right? And you get a part of Torah. So that is the relationship of the Jewish people to the non-Jewish world. That's the partnership that ideally Yitzchak wanted to do. right? But Rivka saw that Esau would use the materialistic blessings for his own selfish needs. He wouldn't use it to help help Yaakov, right? And in the future, that's what will be. Sherefah, that's what will be in the future, at the end of days, that partnership. Thank you very much for your time. I'm sorry I extended. I say that a lot. Oh, yes. Shia b'chalkol Yehuda, shenatel b'drei mashal Yisrael hara Maria. All right, you're right. It's good to read the whole Rashi.
So tell us.
I did this once in class. I did this one once in class in Gomorrah. I kept asking questions to my Rebbe, and he says, that's a Rashi. And he would read it out to me. Oh, thanks. I did it about three times in a row. He finally said to me, let me explain something to you. Rashi's your friend. Why don't you look at him before you ask me questions? Read the entire Rashi. I still haven't learned the lesson.
Well, condense this now. Tell us, because I'm confused a little bit.
Okay, here it is. Bottom line is...
Summarize it.
The bottom line is, Amram went and traveled Hanegba, like we originally translated, in a southern direction, right? Negba means the desert. Rashi. He would be dwelling here for a period of time and there a period of time. All his travelings led him from the desert, Lelech Droima, to go south of the land of Israel. And that is where Yerushalayim is. Yerushalayim is the center of the world. Bamsa Olam, it says center of the world. And the end of the land of Israel. It's not, okay? Kolponim, at any rate, sits in the Chelko Shel Yehuda. It's in the portion of the tribe of Yehuda, right? And he got the southern portion of Israel, right? And Har Moria is in his, Har Moria, whereas the Kadesh Yitzhak was in his territory. Therefore, it's referred to as the southern part of Israel, even though literally when you look at a map, Yerushalayim looks like it's in the center of Israel. It's called the southern part of, what I had a problem with. It's called the southern part of Israel because it was given to the territory of Yehuda, who got the southern part of Israel. In other words, it's the northern part of the tribe of Yehuda, but he's considered to got the southern part of Israel. Okay.
In fact,
it's the border of him and Benjamin. Benjamin and Yehuda share Yerushalayim.
Before we were talking about Beis El and the question of whether or not Har Moriah was there, we were talking about that before. Now we're talking about coming to Yerushalayim. Har Moriah is there. Seems like there's two allusions.
No, two allusions. Very good. No, actually, all it says here is this is the Chalakol Shel Yehuda. It's in the portion of Yehuda. Shenatel b'dorayim shel Yisrael. Har Moriah she'ayin nachlo. It does say Har Moriah. I don't know why it has it in there.
Well, Har Moriah is in Yerushalayim.
Yeah, I know, but what does that have to do? So you want to say it goes back to what we said, what Renee was saying, between Beis El and I, right, that this would be a proof that what it says by Yaakov Avinu Beis El, it literally is Beis El, not just the house of God. That wouldn't be a proof, because it could mean, since Har Moriah was uprooted and came there, that's why he called it Beis El. That's why he called it the house of God. And therefore, it's not the real Beis El. Not the geographical, but in other words, let me explain. Beis El is a city. Beis El can also literally mean the house of God. So according to the commentaries, when Jacob had his famous vision of the ladder, that Har Moriah was uprooted, whatever that means, spiritually, and brought to him, and it says, and Yaakov called it Beis El. So does that mean that's the geographical Beis El when you look at a map today? Or no, Yaakov called it the house of God. Right? Because this is where the future house of God will be. Mount Moriah is where the Beis Hamikdash is, the temple.
Right.
So because in the future, right, therefore he called it the house of God. But it's not the geographical Beis El. Hope to see you guys next week.
Where we go now when we visit Beis El?
No. Oh, so according to that commentary, that is a different place. That's not the same. That's not related to Har Moriah, because we all know that Har Moriah is in Yerushalayim,
right?
Mm-hmm. And so where Avram says he camped between Ai and Beis El, that's not Har Moriah. We all know Har Moriah is in Yerushalayim. You know, the only question is this thing about Beis El. Where did that come from? Are there two places called Beis El, geographical places? Or is there one geographical place called Beis El, and the other mention of it is just a metaphor? You know, Yaakov was calling it the house of God. So that seems to be it. It seems, it doesn't seem that Avram was at Mount Moriah, not yet, until he gets there with the binding of Isaac.